In case any of you were not here last week, or if you were and you were interested in getting the Sunday school lesson from last week, there are CDs on the table that you're certainly welcome to have. Just to kind of go over and review a little bit from last week for those of you who weren't here, and just to refresh us on what we talked about last week. We started out by talking about the difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit, which every believer receives at conversion, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given through the grace of God to each believer as God designs. Now, the outpouring or the infilling, whatever you want to call it, of the Spirit with spiritual gifts are just God's way of helping his people as individuals in unique ways to do his work, which we couldn't do on our own. The baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't just happen so that we can have an experience or to receive a spiritual language that we can use, and then we stop there and we don't go any farther. That's not what the experience or what the infilling is all about. It's about receiving revelation. It's revelation of wisdom. And it's also the imparting of power in the form of spiritual gifts that are to be used in completing the work that Jesus started. So, for all of us, each one of us started our journey at one place, and that was at the cross, receiving the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and then receiving the Holy Spirit at our conversion experience. But, just like the disciples, Jesus told them after he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, he said, I want you now to go into Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise of the Father that is to come, because you're going to receive something else. You're going to receive power. Power to be my witnesses. So the next step after the cross was then to receive power. Now the followers of Jesus at that time received that outpouring, that infilling at Pentecost. And then throughout the New Testament you see different times that in different ways the people that followed Christ received that same infilling of power. You have to start there in order to move and to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because otherwise all the knowledge of the gifts don't benefit anyone. They certainly don't benefit us if we don't receive that power first and begin to move out in that. We're to seek the giver with all our hearts and recognize that he is the giver of the gifts and that he wants us to have them. They're not secret. You know, they're not something that we can't really know about or really experience. They are there. He wants us to understand. He wants us to have them. He wants us to move in them. Once we know that the gifts exist and that they're for us, then we have to take responsibility to learn how to flow in them, how to use them. Spiritual gifts are just a channel that the Holy Spirit uses to minister to man. We also talked about the fact that the gifts are divinely given, that they are different, and that they're dependent on each other. And that's the way God designed it, so that the body functions totally and perfectly. A lot of, Skip brought this up last week, a lot of denominations teach that the gifts went away. They faded away after the New Testament period. But in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, tongues, knowledge, prophecy that are imperfect will pass away when the perfect comes. So that statement, when the perfect comes, refers to the coming of Jesus. And it doesn't refer to the ending of the New Testament period or the dying away of the disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read a teaching by a very famous pastor. I believe he's a Methodist. I read a whole pamphlet that was given to me by a close friend of mine about this very thing, and their definition of perfect was when the Bible came. So they think that Gutenberg stopped the gifts.
Oh,
excuse
boy.
Me, but he was the inventor of the printing press, and that's when the Bible became available to the general public. So their teaching is that when the Bible became available, then the gifts died.
We didn't
need
them
anymore.
Right, we didn't need them anymore.
Probably
but Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:7 to say, you're not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, yeah, the gifts will fade away after Jesus' return because they won't be necessary anymore. But they are necessary now for us to carry out the work that Jesus has for us. Again, we have to be absolutely convinced that the gifts of the Spirit are for us and that God wants us to have them. If we aren't convinced of that, then we're never going to flow in any of the gifts. And as long as we believe that we can live without flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, we will. And there will be no demonstration of power. There will be no manifestation of the presence of God. And as we talked about last week, there, you know, churches have failed so badly in presenting the real God. It's just kind of this little bitty God. You get saved and that's it. You know,
hang on to that.
That's all you need.
And Maggie, can I say just one thing? One reason that I wanted someone to do this, we've done it several times over the years, but we all come here from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Skip was referring to, in every denomination or even the non-denomination, you receive what was taught to you.
Exactly.
And not all those teachings were lined up with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's always, I think, important ever so often is to go through these teachings and realize this is just what the Word says.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our belief here. But it doesn't mean that even if they came out of another teaching that it wasn't the truth there. It just may not have been taught. And, you know, or it may have been taught wrong, like the example you gave.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to be open to teaching. And so
It's important.
Yeah, and it can happen right
truth.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Antichrist movement is to steal the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't teach it, you won't know. How will you know unless you're taught?
How will we know?
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, logic tells you is that even if one miracle happened after the Bible was printed, it absolutely disproves that teaching. I mean, either it's right or it's wrong. And so there's been lots of fully documented pictures taken. I mean, absolute evidence that miracles are still happening to this day. So if they're happening, it absolutely disproves that.
Yeah. True.
Okay, it is important to remember also, as we talked about last week, that God formed us to please Him and to serve others. That was why God put us where we are, so that we can please Him and so that we can minister to others. We're not to be spectators in the church, not actively involved, just sitting on the sidelines and soaking up like a sponge everything that everybody tells us, and that we're not involved in a ministry. But we also should be actively involved in a ministry that corresponds to our spiritual gift and not just plugging a spot because nobody else did. So two challenges that I gave last week. The first one is 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And the second one was 1 Peter 4:10. As each one, not some, not just the leadership, not just a special team, but as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We will give an accounting to God of our stewardship of the gift that he gave us. Sometimes it's really hard to be a good steward of something that we know very little or nothing about, and something we don't even know we have. So that's the purpose of what we're going to be doing and talking about in the next weeks. We're going to begin a discovery journey to understand what each of the gifts are, how they're used in the church, and also some of the major characteristics of people who have that particular gift. And I'm praying that this will open our eyes and our hearts to begin to look at ourselves and see where we fit in the church so that we can release and flow in the gift that God's given us. One word of caution. Don't look at the gifts as they're described and immediately say, oh, God would never use me in that way. Oh, no. Oh, I can't do that. No, no. God knows what you can do through his grace. So be open. Look at it. Look for things that you're drawn to. Look for things that you're interested in. God's going to fill in all the gaps. He'll lead you. He'll guide you to the right place. So we're going to start with the word gift. In the Greek, that is charisma. Charisma is granted favor, divine gratuity, spiritual endowment. Now, a gratuity is a reward or a present. And an endowment is to put on as clothing or covering. I loved that when I read it. God gives us divine work clothes. I loved it. All right. He's giving me a divine present, and I'm going to put it on. It's my work clothes. It's what I need to have on to get to work in the church, to minister to all of you, and for you to minister to me and to each other. Once we receive the infilling of the Spirit, then we're going to flow in one or more of the spiritual gifts at any time. The thing to remember is that we all have the gifts within us. It's up to us to flow in them. Now, every single Spirit-filled believer will have at least one dominant gift of the Spirit functioning in their life. Your gift is sovereignly given to benefit the body of Christ. As we seek to be led by the Spirit and we press in to the spiritual gifts that God has for us, we are going to begin to see his power and his presence manifested when we assemble together as the body. That's what I'm looking forward to. As we learn and we begin to develop our own gift that God gave us, and we begin to press in closer to the Spirit, when we assemble together, things are going to happen. Miracles, signs, and wonders are going to follow us. But we have to press in. 1 Peter 4:11 says that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's how the gifts are used, to glorify God. They are not given to you to benefit you. They're given to benefit the body. So, if for every area of ministry, there are those specially fitted by God for that ministry, it is vital to that ministry that those people be involved in that ministry. So, if I'm fitted specially with a particular gift for a particular ministry, then it's vital that I am in that ministry in the church. And I'm not in some other area that I don't have a spiritual gifting in. Because God is not going to be manifested in power when I'm operating in something that I'm not gifted in. But when I'm operating where I am gifted, God is glorified, people are touched, things change. Another important thing for us to remember is In the body, it's not one person gets this gift, one person gets that, one person gets this, and one person gets that. There might be four that have that. Five that have that. Two that have that gift. It doesn't matter how many have the gifting, specific giftings. What matters is that we use them the way God designed us to use them. Even though we might minister in somewhat similar ways, the results are always going to be different because God uses each of us differently. And the results are going to be different when He uses me in my gifting in the ministry that I'm in. And if Frank had the same gifting as I did, and we both operated and ministered in the same area, the results that came from my ministry are going to be different than the results that come from Frank's ministry. That's the way God's designed us.
Megan, I think it's so important in that point right there to realize too that it all works through love. Okay. And all the fruits of the Spirit works through that. Because if not, we become jealous and judgmental of people's giftings.
Exactly.
And covetousness and all that. So it all has to flow out of love to work and fit.
That's right.
Like gears, timing.
We talked last week about the fact that the gifts of the Spirit are different. There are different categories. There are three different unique gifts, groups of gifts, rather. Each group is unique. Each group is different. But they're all gifts, and they all come from the same Trinity. They all come from the same God. But there is an order and a structure in the way that the spiritual gifts not only are used in the body, but there's also an order in the way that God has placed them in the body. It has nothing to do with importance. In other words, the prophet is no more important than the person who has the gift of service. They are the same. They are equal. The way that God has placed them in the body is not about importance. It simply demonstrates a dependence on each other. The work of the gift that preceded the one following. They're dependent on each other. And you'll see that as we go through all of the gifts. When you look at how the structure sits, how God set it up, each gift depends on the functioning of the gift before it. All members of the body are necessary. There's no room for lone rangers. We need each other. And as Frankie was just saying, we aren't to feel like second-class citizens or second-class Christians because we can't do what someone else does.
Right.
We're not supposed to. And that truth ought to set us free from jealousy. Because God is the one who's composed the body so that we are dependent on each other. We're linked through one another to Him. So, we're going to go through the first group of gifts today. Ephesians 4:11-12. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. These are the fivefold ministry gifts or leadership gifts. And the people who have these gifts are usually in nurturing or governmental positions in the church. Again, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These gifts are in the people whose place in ministry helps the church by preparing the congregation for service, edifying, unifying, and maturing the body of Christ. So first is the apostle. Now in the Greek, the word is apostolos. One sent forth. An apostle is a messenger. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body, which enables them to assume and exercise divinely imparted leadership over a number of ministries. An apostle hears from the Holy Spirit and sets things in order accordingly for the church's health, growth, maturity, and outreach. People with this gift usually have a pioneering spirit. They establish new ministries or churches. They desire to minister to unreached people in other communities, and they have responsibility to oversee the ministries they establish. They demonstrate authority and vision. They're adventurous, and they're risk takers. Mm-hmm. Next is prophet. In the Greek, the word for prophet is prophetes, the foretelling of the will of God. To speak forth. Now that's that special ability that God gives to some to receive and communicate the message of God to his people. The Spirit empowers certain Christians to interpret and apply God's revelation with a focused message for the church. A contemporary word for prophet is preacher. People with this gift expose sin or deception in others for the purpose of reconciliation. They speak a timely word from God, causing conviction, repentance, edification. They see truth that often others fail to see. And they understand God's heart and mind through experiences that he takes them through. The next is evangelist. In the Greek, euangelistos, one who brings good news or a messenger of good. Now, all Christians are called to evangelize. But some are given an extra measure of faith and effectiveness in this area. They have an ability to share the gospel with unbelievers in such a way that people come to know Christ. They also are very burdened, so burdened for the lost, and they will go out of their way to share the truth with them. And they're able to overcome the natural and normal fear that we have, that Satan gives us, of rejection. They engage non-believers in meaningful conversation. They also could be called the spiritual obstetrician, because they're out there birthing the believers. Now, I'm going to stop before I go on to pastor and teacher, because I want us to see, I want us to go back to that thought of God specifically setting a structure. He started with an apostle who began a ministry. Then he set in a prophet to bring the truth, to be able to bring understanding, conviction, repentance. Then he sets the evangelist out there to birth the new believers. Now, the church was never set up to be the place where unbelievers came to be saved. The Bible says, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come. It was set up so that we brought them to a knowledge of Christ and then brought them to the church. The church was a place for believers to be nurtured and to be brought into a place of maturity and understanding of the Word. So, the next gift is that of pastor and shepherd. And you'll see how all this fits together. In the Greek, it's poimen, a feeder, a protector. These are people who are called and gifted to care for the spiritual well-being of the body of God's people. They're first and foremost servants. They care for the wounded and sick sheep, nursing them back to health. The role of a shepherd is one of humility and service. They spend time with the sheep, guide them to places of nourishment and rest. A pastor or shepherd is not necessarily a prophet or preacher. A prophet or preacher is not necessarily a pastor shepherd. Mm-hmm. If a prophet does not have the gift of shepherding, that's not his area. Right. His area is to be the preacher, to be the prophet, to bring conviction. The shepherd takes the new little believers that just came in one group and he nurtures them. He takes another group of those who are stumbling, and he begins to nurture them. He takes another group. These are the pastors and shepherds, those who care for the sheep. They love the sheep. They help to nurture. They help to bring them to a place of rest and growth. Then comes the teacher, a didaskalos, a master. This is the spiritual gift where the Spirit enables particular Christians to communicate and clarify the details and truths of God's Word so that others learn and learn to apply them in their life and effectively understand and move forward. They're able to instruct people in the Word in a logical way, in a systematic way. Back to pastor, the people with this gift have a deep love for people that compels them to care for others. And they take responsibility to nurture the whole person in their walk with God, providing guidance and oversight, establishing trust and confidence. The teacher then communicates biblical truth that inspires obedience to the Word. They challenge listeners to practically apply the truth of Scripture. And they focus on changing lives by helping others understand the Bible better. So now, the pastor is nurturing, the teacher is teaching and enabling them. The evangelist is out here still bringing more in. Prophet is delivering word from God, messages straight from the throne. And the apostle has set up this ministry, and now he's about going on to set up another ministry, but he's still responsible for the ministry that he just set up. Mm-hmm. So it's all dependent on one another. And you see this all through all the gifts, that they go back and they are dependent on the one before.
That's a good salad.
Yes.
Then think about Apostle Paul, all the letters that he wrote. That's what he's doing.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, that completes the description of the fivefold ministry gifts. But this is just the beginning of our discovery journey, learning about each of the gifts, recognizing areas that we might have a calling in, or maybe it's just right now an interest in. Gifts aren't classified. God intends for you to know and to develop it. Remember, though, to seek to know Jesus more deeply, to be open to whatever He wants for you. God's desire is to fill each one of us with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth and perform the works of Christ. We're supposed to pattern ourselves after Jesus. Jesus did all of those things. He nurtured. He taught. He brought new believers. He did all of those things. And you'll see He does all of the gifts, and that's our responsibility, is to find out what our gift is so that we can follow after His example. We need His ministry in our lives because we can't do anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is in Christ. So if we're to be kingdom builders in the same way that Jesus was, then we have to be dependent upon that grace that comes from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the purpose for the information that I'm bringing to you is to know what God intends for us in this body to serve one another and to glorify Him and equip the saints to build up the body of Christ. Not knowing what our gifts are affects the health of the entire body. If we don't know what our gifts are, we aren't using the gift that God has given us. Not only are we crippling our own spiritual life, but we're crippling the body of Christ. Remember last week I said this particular thing, I'm going to say it each week because I think it's a really important point for us to remember. When we don't flow in the gifts, we are holding back someone's miracle. We need to release and flow in the gift that God gave us. Next week we're going to talk about the manifestation gifts, The one after that, we'll talk about the motivational gifts, and then we're going to figure out how to release these gifts, how to flow in them. And at one point in this series, we're going to do something that's going to help you to identify or pinpoint what your dominant gift is so that you can be effective in the ministry of this church. So, as Dwayne would say, stay plugged in.
Amen.
Yeah.
Frankie, would you dismiss us?
I should pray right now in the name of Jesus that every slumbering spirit will be awakened through this teaching, Lord. That there'll be no more slumbering, but it'll be alive and active and working in all our lives. So right now, I just, by the power of your spirit, Lord, would you speak to those slumbering spirits to wake up.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, in all those that we're ready to flow in all that you have given us, Lord. Thank you that you're a good and gracious God, and you do it for our blessing and yours, and
yes,
for all those that may be partakers of communion with you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.